welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Happy, happy Friday of a long weekend. I wonder how many of you out there are still at work. Oh, wow. This is an amazing time. How was your week? Was it full of wonkiness? I know that I was hearing from a lot of my clients and a lot of the different people I work with throughout the world that this was a really wonky week, particularly in the United States, but energetically all the way around. So today I'd like to talk about why it's so wonky and what we can do to come out of the wonkiness. And with that bigger perspective, as I just glance out my window and see the half moon up in the beautiful Florida, piercingly blue October sky, reminding us all with the bigger perspective how to be able to be calm and actually take advantage of what's causing the wonkiness to our favor. So realistically, I know that the majority of my listeners are people who are open-minded and open to what's new in the ethers and cutting-edge thinkers, some pioneers, and some people looking to have more magic in their lives. And whether you're just starting, as the survey told me that I did a couple of months back of my listeners and what you guys wanted, that some of you were 5 years and more on the, let's say, spiritual path, and some of you are within the last year just starting. So it seems like, nonetheless, wherever you are on it, you're turned on to there being something more to life beyond the mundane and the everyday. And so what is happening right now is, this is a continuation of last week's show, and it seems like the awareness that I've gotten in the last month is to basically channel what it seems like its contribution to the listeners that week, as opposed to now setting up topics anymore as if a teacher with lesson plans, but just going with what's been going on this week and talking about it and taking callers in. So if you're listening to the radio show, you can see where to call in if you actually do want to call in. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, and I'm not going to get up to get it now, but it shows right there on the web page. So if you want to, you can call in. That's cool. I've also started, I've launched a six-week telecall series that starts on Monday in direct response to what I've been sensing from you guys, my regular listeners in my community who have subscribed to my email list. And I talked about that last week, that this telecall series is in response to that. And it's funny because the telecall series title is Say Yes to More and No to Less. So if you want, there was a free call Monday night, and there's a recording available now. So you can go to my website, AllisonJK.com, and the links are down there on the bottom right of this page if you want to click on them. And you can see the banner for the teleseries. It starts Monday, and if you're listening to this past Monday, the whatever Monday's date is, the 14th, you can still join in. I believe we're going to let people in up through the first week before the second week starts, and then take a case-by-case basis, because there's always stragglers if you're in the second and third week of the telecall series, because there'll be recordings and such to listen to after the actual calls, where I'll be facilitating people, helping you see your hidden conclusions that keep you kind of locked in the same old status quo, that keep you holding yourself back. There'll be theta healings to clear the subconscious trauma, the subconscious childhood, deep conditioned blocks, maybe even from past lives, and access consciousness clearings to get at that unconsciousness and get at where we're kind of having a blind spot in our thinking, and it's causing us to choose less when we could actually be choosing more. And then transmissions, like each radio show actually is from my vibration. I'm fresh out of an energy healing session right now. And it's funny because this one client, and the last one I had yesterday too, some of them pull more channeling out of me than others. Others just need, and I don't mean to say just, others need more physical healing. Some come to me for back pain, knee pain, surgery, wanting to recover quicker from surgery, tight shoulders, neck, digestive tract disorders. Others come to me for depression. Others come to me for more guidance and coaching on how to spiritualize their life. And others come to me for career and direction and life purpose. And others come to me for business coaching and abundance. So these two clients, the last ones of today and yesterday, pull more channeling out of me. They're quite advanced, quite connected clients. One is a mother of two, a happily married mother of two, who has been learning how to deal with her own mind, which was labeled ADD, ADHD, but is no longer that way. She's calm and grounded and just generating so much love in her family, opening up to her psychicness, where she used to get pains on her hip and in her knees, on her feet, and she'd go and hear from somebody within the next day, finding out that it was somebody that she knew who was having that pain in their lives. So she's been learning how to deal with her own psychicness in a comfortable, generative, good, positive way. The last client of today, he's a man in his early 60s who has all these ideas and dreams and wants to finally manifest them and stop holding himself back, and it's brilliant. And so what came through in his session is this idea right now that the wonkiness that has been going on this week, in particular this week, and if you pay attention to the headlines in the news, you can see what's up with our government in the United States anyway. But what's happening globally is there's more of a lockdown, it seems like, on controlling change, on looking to the old ways, looking to the status quo to help us, and it's just not going to anymore. What we've done, the majority of it, especially when it's ego-based, just isn't working anymore. And a lot of people are in their own way, stuck in their thinking that if we just think our ways through it, if we figure it out, then we'll get to the solution and we'll be able to solve this problem. So it's even in the basic, and I talked about this a lot last week, and I think 3 weeks back, where it's even that basic dualistic thinking of there is a problem and I have to solve it. What if there were no problems? I mean, thinking of the title of my book, which is right in the banner above here, as is the banner, by the way, for the telecall series, right above the picture of me, What If There's Nothing Wrong is the name of my book, right? So we have this dualistic way of thinking that, oh, there's a problem here. We have too much debt in our government. We have to solve that problem. What if we approached it? So let me back up for a second. In a lot of my business coaching and abundance coaching that I've taken to doing with my clients, the common approach is if you have a shortage of money, then where do we look? We look to what? Cut back, right? We look to cut back on the expenses. We don't typically go to the column for how do I generate more income. We go to the negative. We go to the making ourselves bad, wrong, and with a form of punishment. It is the natural predisposition of the ego mind and of our conditioning globally. This isn't significant to any culture. Some cultures have it more than others, for sure, in the way that they structure their parenting and their societal values. But overall, it's the nature of the actual human mind on the planet in a body that seems to go in that dualistic thinking to good, bad, right, wrong. And so much of that is from us. Our minds are designed, y'all, right? You can totally see this. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. And if we're doing that, then we're doing the ego's dance. And our modern-day globalized economy with all of its advertising on the internet, even Blog Talk Radio now has the advertisements you can't get around, like YouTube adopted years ago. It's everywhere. The advertising, it's an onslaught. And it's telling us that we can have this to give us more pleasure, or we can use this to avoid pain. And even in marketing 101 for business, you know, it's posed nowadays, particularly in the coaching field. Okay, so coaching and talking with people about abundance, and in looking at where the mind goes in that dual mode, that's ego-based thinking. And so if we go for talk therapy and we continue to talk and we don't bring in a new energy, then all we're doing is staying in the same energy of the problem. You know Einstein saying by now, if you can't solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. We're in the times right now that are brand new times, and my book totally talks about the shift in the paradigm. And what we've been seeing this week is the ego's clampdown. There's certain holistic... Okay, so in the training, for example, when I went for my certification as a personal trainer, there is psychology of change presented in a chapter. And in my psychology major at the undergraduate level, there's talk about the psychology of change. And all of that is presented from a non-holistic viewpoint. It's presented from just simply human behavior that is not showered and sprinkled in with the understanding of the nature of the human mind and the nature of a soul being present in a body influencing the behavior. And so I find that lacking when it talks about the psychology of change, because the ego mind wants control. If it seeks pleasure and avoids pain, its job is to protect us. Its job, right, is to help us navigate the physical plane. So we're in a physical body, and I've said this so many times, that's why my voice just kind of went into the sing-song. And we're having all this different input around us in the on the invisible realms, the multidimensional planes, and the ego mind is downloaded to us, given to us to structure it, calculate, figure stuff out, plan, structure, organize, concrete sequentially. And so that's a more concrete cognitive mechanical aspect to what the mind serves us, or how the mind serves us. If you look beyond it, though, what else the mind does is it likes what's familiar, because it doesn't have to work at approaching something new. And as I've said, I say in my book, and I've said on many, many radio shows, the whole nature of sensory perception, the whole equipment that we have when our five physical senses pick up on something in the environment, is then it goes into our database of files in our head of what we've already experienced, looking for the label for this thing that we're sensing. So if it goes based on the past, it goes based on what we've already seen, then how can we create something new from the mind? Right, we can't. So, and something inherent to this field of the psychology of change is that there's an inherent inbred resistance to change that our mind has. And our mind seeks status quo because it's easier to maintain. And the nature of the human mind is to also want to structure. And the nature of the soul is a wild, expansive energy. So, when we're going for more and we're expanding, then the mind isn't going to understand the energy, and it's going to do what it can to trip that process up. It's going to, and so some of the ways that shows up, and I'm going to be talking about this and doing clearings and healings for exactly this topic in the telecall series. There's two different of the 6-week calls scheduled to deal with the way the mind shows up when we're going for change and how it trips us up. So it's a huge thing. I do it with all my clients. It's present in to varying degrees, everybody who's going for change, because even if you're saying a full-on yes to change, our minds are still then at a more subtle level. They're having these conclusions from the old dualistic thinking. So the ways that it will show up with these habits towards staying the same and seeking pleasure and avoiding pain and not changing and shrinking back from that wilder, expansive energy that the soul presents, because it seems much less controlled and much more multisensory and beyond what the mind can manage. So it doesn't know how to deal, so it shies away from it, is seeking even more control. So the mind becomes more controlling, and so we shrink back into our daily safety zone and habits more easily. We'll shrink back and not interact with other people. We'll stay the same and get even more entrenched in our habit routines. And so we'll live more isolated. We'll look for more routine, not allowing for room for newness to come in, not allowing for room for spontaneity to come in. We'll go for an extremely structured day. The mind will question and doubt away when we see ourselves opening to talking to this new person or taking this new workshop or going to this new location or going to that meeting, expressing interest at something new. The mind will find an excuse not to go, and typically to the last minute. And I can feel you guys grabbing onto that, because it is so typical of when we're reaching for more. The mind will find either money or time or health as the three easiest accessible excuses that you can't really argue with. But it will also just say, I don't feel like it. So we could have it on our calendar. We could be getting ready to go, and then we could back out at the last minute. Change is right now up in the collective field, and it is a radical change from the way that we have been living on this planet. And it's surprising me still, because what I talk about in my book, what I explore, is that we are going through this predicted huge meta-paradigm shift, and how we tend to avoid the invisible and the power in the invisible, and what subtle energies are in the West, how we are so focused on the physical, and how that's at this point to our detriment, written in my last of my 10 years living in Asia. And ultimately understanding the way the mind works, and being a meditator for 20 years and a teacher of it for 17, certified and trained in India, right? So I write this book in my last year in Asia saying, hey, yo, why are we just trying not to look at the invisible? Why do we need things proven? And so the book talks about the development in the West of the science coming out of the church, and science never dealing with the mind or consciousness, and so our society not. And so here we are today in a globalized society where we're getting whiffs of it from Asia, and we're getting access to it from the Native Americans' mystical writings in religious freedom happening in 1970 for the first time in America, because it was ruled illegal. So all these new books came out starting in the 70s from the Native American culture, infusing our American culture with more of a sense of mysticism. There's so many different things I explore in my book that are really fun about how we've been shut down to beyond the physical, including the name living room being the room that we live in. It's called living room because before the funeral home industry began, people used to show the dead bodies in a room in the house, the main room, and to deter from how it had been used for death, they called it the living room. There's all of these different postmodern level living ways that we haven't been dealing with the metaphysical, beyond the physical, or the multidimensional, beyond this physical 3D dimension, and we are absolutely getting flagged to right now. That's what that galactic alignment was on December 21st in 2012. So what we've been seeing this week, especially in the last couple of weeks, but this week was particularly intense, at least for me and from what I gathered from my clients and others who I was interacting with, under the auspices of this new moon, the new moon's has, there's a lunar eclipse attached to this new moon. I don't know what date it is right now. And then there's some other configurations happening in the constellations that are because of the energy induced from the lineup of the stars and planets with each other. There's a certain influence on our planet, just like the tides get influenced, sometimes more wild, sometimes not, that are causing us to have an energy of transformation. That's in more so than anything, a shredding of the old, the dead weight, what doesn't work anymore, as the new emerges on the other side of it. But right now, where it seems like we're in the dying of it, we're in the shedding of the old skin. And that's not always easy, right? I mean, I've had so many snakes all of a sudden show up at my front doorstep, literally over the last 3 weeks. I came out of a particularly powerful session with one of my clients, and a snake fell off the door, the front door, as I opened it. And I looked down, something caught my eye, because I was like, oh, what was that? And so I kind of followed it with my eye, and then I caught a glimpse of its tail as it slithered underneath the building. Within that same weekend, it's within 5 days, there's a little boy. So I looked up what snake means. I already know it's heavy duty medicine for trans. It's not just transformation like the butterfly symbolizes, but it's transmutation, like the venom in a snake, how it's given homeopathically to a person who's gotten bit in the remedy to get to not be poisoned by the poisonous snake bite. So there's a certain power in the transformation of a snake that symbolized when you see a snake, that it's your transformation you're going through is quite heavy duty and magical, transmuting some heavier stuff, whereas the transformation of the butterfly is a bit lighter, or quite a bit lighter. So within the next 5 days, the little boy who lives next door comes over with a snake. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's looking down at the ground with the snake, and his dad actually brought it to him. So there it was, basically sitting right on the sidewalk, right in front of my house too. So it was like the snake was being brought to me. It was dead, but the snake was being brought to me. And interestingly too, I've had some lizards. So the lizard grows a tail one time, right? It can regrow its tail once and only once. And so I was working with a weekly body talk therapist. So that's another mode of energy healing. In the last 2 years, I lived in Taiwan, and I was working with him from a distance. And when I would come back here to the States in the summer, I would go through California and be there for a couple of weeks and have a layover. And so I met him there, and would get hands-on treatments there, too, in the summers. And so he said to me one time, Allison, as you go through this enlightenment process for yourself, so this is 5 years ago, it was funny because he said, Allison, you picked a heck of a way to get yourself enlightened. And I'm like, I thought I was just choosing a really groovy relationship with a whole lot of chemistry. I didn't think I was choosing enlightenment. That wasn't what I, you know, so it dressed itself as something totally different than what I have chosen as a result to come out of it. So he said, the lizard, you can regrow your tail once as a lizard. So think it, and only once. So you're basically going to chop your tail off and let go of all of this old only one time. So make sure it's right when you do it. And so this is what it feels like we're in right now. I mean, like really old patterns letting go of, like lifetimes and like the most familiar ways of being and the way that you greet. We could say it that way. The way that you greet other people when you first meet them, like what you expect them to see in you, what you expect them to judge about you, that thing or the way you are and what people will see about you when you walk around with your antenna kind of telling people what to think about you, right? All of that. Let's destroy and uncreate it, by the way. Times of Godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nines, shorts, boys, and beyonds. That's an access consciousness clearing, and that's the access consciousness clearing statement. So if you want more information about that, you can go to drdanehere.com, look under his free stuff, and he has a 20-minute explanation of the clearing statement from access consciousness. So we're telling people what to think about us, right? So that judgment that we have of ourselves that we walk around with and we tell other people to also judge us about if we haven't done any work with our mind or anyway, so that pattern and or when you've been in a job for a long time or a relationship for a long time, or if you're a person who's lived in many locations, you live in a community for a certain amount of time and it's that thing that keeps coming up, that pattern, that lesson, it seems like, that you just can't get away from. It's that these old, old ways of being, these old, old patterns. The clarion call for today is a brand new time, a brand new era we're in. ERA, era we're in. And it is the era of spiritual awakening. And it is the time for us to shed old skin, cut off the tail, and let go of ways of being that used to work in a more physically dense world. Because we're moving into a world that can't accommodate that density. So if we're approaching problems with the same figure it out, mental quagmire, heavy kind of energy, it's not, we need new ways. That is absolutely the times that we're in right now. We need new ways, whether it's with ourselves personally, or it's within relationships or family dynamics or businesses or communities or governments. Yeah, we need new ways now. And those new ways aren't necessarily coming from a dualistic mind, a mind that's polarized in yes, no, good, bad, black, white, but instead coming from a mind that comes from whole consciousness, much like I talked about last week. And in that holistic consciousness, that balanced brain hemispheric mind, that whole consciousness is able to listen to its intuition more. This is also part of where the spiritual element comes in. So my next book coming out, it seems like it's one that I've already written, and it seems like this is going to be the next one, on meditation. And I've referred to this a couple of times. In the process of meditation, the third 10 minutes, if you take a 30-minute time slot, is when we get into the spiritual energy. The first 10 minutes, we're just dealing with the physical mechanism of our mind racing, the habitual think, figure things out, calculate, strategize, think, and we're just taking time to slow down and create gaps in between the thoughts and pull our attention back to our breath to take the fuel from the mind that it's used to having in dominating our lives and us coming from our thinking mind only, that is so propelled by what the collective is thinking. We're so much more porous like sponges than we ever have given ourselves credit for. So much of what, if we're not monitoring our minds or working with our minds, is from the collective and it's not even ours. And that, which is how things, I think, can become mainstream, because so many people are thinking it at the same time, because everybody's picking up on what everybody else is thinking. That's how words, it seems like the word wonky can become trendy. It's not the same thing as the collective unconscious, like I talked about last week. So moving beyond that mind, in the second 10-minute period of meditation is then the mind that has more peace and more calm. And it is in that mind that we start to be able to hear other stuff beyond our everyday mind. And you can refer back to one of the shows I did from Costa Rica in August that is about intuitive development. Because now we're creating more space in our mind to move beyond the everyday chattering, thought-dominated mind, ego-dominated mind, what the mind that seeks pleasure and avoids pain mind. And we're moving into the mind that has more a holistic consciousness, in that by that third 10 minutes of meditation, I'm not saying you only access it in meditation, I'm using it as a way to diagram out for you, getting out of the everyday mind and gradually moving over to a mind that allows for more openness in between thoughts and allows for intuitive awarenesses to be more involved in what one thinks. So when we're calculating something, when it's a thought from our mind and it's a mechanical kind of cognitive kind of thing, then it feels like it's inside our mind, mechanistically propelled by our mind, created inside our head. The intuitive awarenesses seem to be more dropped in like a parachute, parachuted in. So if we are more expansive and we're not just dominated by our mind, but let's say we do yoga, or let's say we have some level of physical exercise, and we're connected with nature, we're not just locked up in our office or locked up in our head down with our gadgets and the internet and texting, and instead we're like interactive with flowers and nature and water, and we sail or we jet ski even, or we boat or we swim or we ski, water ski or even snow ski when it's winter, and we surf and we hike and we bike, and we have a connection to the bigger field where there's aliveness from all life and it's not just the human mind, then that opens up our field too. So we can connect with something bigger than ourselves, and allowing that something bigger than ourselves in, and I don't mean religious worship in an institution on Sundays or Friday nights only. I mean where you feel connected to something bigger than you. So it helps call that ego mind on itself, and it's clamped down on control that it's asking for right now, because it's afraid, it's scared, it doesn't understand this new energy, because this new energy is so spiritual, it is so soulful, it is so high vibration, it is so wild and expansive, and it is not contracted. And that everyday mind in its mechanisms of strategizing, calculating, etc., tends to be the contracted part of ourselves, and the mind that then starts to get more gaps in between the thoughts in that second 10-minute segment of a 30-minute meditation session where the peace and calm starts. And then in that third segment where the actual connection with your higher self or spiritual self comes in, because there's a lot more room and you've now opened up your field because you're not so mind-dominated, to having other parts of your system, like your body in its own consciousness with all of the chi or the life force energy running through it that carries its own consciousness all throughout your body and distributes it throughout the meridians. That's what acupuncturists put the needles in on, or throughout the nadis, which is what it travels on in the yogic system through the chakra column. So all of that life force energy traveling out throughout your body all has intelligence and aliveness to it. So you open up more to that as you let go of the mind's dominance, and then go into connecting even more with your spiritual self, and then the bigger field out there that contains the same life force energy that has essence in at the core of every molecule of energy that is electric and magnetic. All of it electric and magnetic, meaning there's ways to play with it and magnetize the kind that you want to, and there's ways that you can propel it with the electric and the propulsion that happens with magnetics. We did this last week where you put your hands close to each other, palms facing each other, and don't let them touch. You move them out a foot, slowly move them back in 6 inches, slowly move them out, and you can feel that electricity and that magnetic in between your hands. That's the life force energy. So coming out of the everyday mind and turning outward, you can turn inward and look and start to feel the peace and the calm, and then feel your bigness, your expansiveness in this energy as you tune more into, I want to say the spirit, mind, body, spirit, right? I want to say the spirit part of us. And in the Chinese culture, they believe that the spirit is in the heart. And in fact, the word for heart and spirit is the same. So whatever the term may be, when we start to move, once we've moved beyond the everyday mind and we're connecting to that primordial part of us, that essence part of us, and that exists in all life, the chi or the prana or the life force energy, as it's known to be called, then we're in the nature of the times right now. Then we're able to successfully navigate the nature of the times right now. 33 minutes into the show, and I finally get to it because of all that background that was needed. And maybe it wasn't needed. So it seems like I have a cross-pollination, like I was saying, of listeners. So it sometimes can also take me a little bit of time. So moving forward now, we in that space that's expanded, that's non-dualistic. That just is. That's more of that presence energy. That's more of the energy that you hear about when all the books that talk about cultivating presence, or be present now, or be in the present moment now. The way to do that is to come out of the out of the mind, because as we've talked on many shows, the mind can only review. I mean, sit down and observe your mind, even for 10 minutes, if you don't have a meditation practice. What does it do? It will either start reviewing something that happened. Did he say that? Did he mean that by what he said, or did he mean this by what he said? Did they like my presentation? Was it good enough? And or reviewing, man, I wish I had done that differently. And then what else does it do? It goes into, I can't wait for that. That's going to be so cool. I wonder what I'm going to do tonight. Oh, no, I don't think I'm going to be able to really make that happen. It doesn't seem to really be coming together. And future. So the mind either goes into the past, over whether good, bad, happy, sad, or the future, good, bad, happy, sad. There's no present for the mind. The mind can't be in the present. So when we move beyond the mind, that's how we access the present. And in the present moment is the magic. I'm not the first one to say this. And so in that present moment is how we then get that expansiveness. And in that expansiveness is then the essence energy. Some would say divinity. Some would say spirituality. Some would say that's how you connect with your soul. That is what is required in today's time in order to thrive. If you go into your mind, it's going to be almost like more quagmire-y nowadays. The energy is absolutely, the energy, when I say that, meaning the intention of the times and whatever the galactic constellations are pouring down onto our planet and whatever is propelling our humanity forward. If it's one divine source, if it's all of, I don't even know, and it's too big for me to even wrap around right now, but we're moving into a time apparently now that is one of this expansion energy and this newness energy and this soulful energy and the spiritual awakening energy. So that means you're going to want to cultivate a practice that supports that, whether that be yoga or meditation or qigong or tai chi or going out in nature or exercising outside or being with a group of people who really help open up your heart, preferably while you're out in nature, people who help you live from a place that's beyond the everyday mind. So one of the other things that shows up is a massive amount of resistance, because the ego mind, as we were talking about in the beginning of this show, has a resistance to change, as we talked about. So it's clamping down on more control. It shows up as saying no, and walking around with a kind of a no energy, where you don't accept people offering things, where you don't accept free samples, where you don't open up to a new opportunity, where you stay in the excuse of, I'm too overwhelmed. Isn't that a tricky little thing? in today with all the emails and all the texts coming at us, it's so easy to be overwhelmed, right? But if we are, and that means, and we're not allowing in that, because of that overwhelm, we'll say, the new connections to come in, the new opportunities to come in, then we stay closed down and hold off and closed off in the same energy. So if you are trying to solve a problem in your life, then you're still staying in the same energy. So the bottom line, again, is to open up to something new. Open up, open up, open up. Take a risk. And it's funny, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was from my first meditation teacher, and I've said this on quite a few shows, do the exact opposite of what your mind wants you to do. If there's a habit energy that your mind wants you to go to that familiar tea house or coffee house on a Friday night instead of going to that new party or that new hangout where you know you'll meet new people and you know one of the desires you've been having lately is more socialize, a better social life, more socializing, to be around community, to be around like-minded people. You're realizing that you're spending too much time alone. You're realizing that you're spending too much time working, or you're realizing that you need more interaction with other humans that's not work-based. And when it comes down to Friday night, and you choose instead to go to that familiar place with the excuse of I don't have the money, with the excuse of I'm too tired, with the excuse of I have this work to do that I can't put off, with the excuse of it's too far away, I'm too tired, with the excuse of whatever, right? Yeah, that's staying same, same. How much of that is going on our planet right now? And how much of that would be wiped away if we weren't in such overwhelm? I'm going to give an example of, I was listening yesterday to a CD for business owners about successful practices. And one of the things that was suggested by one of the leading marketers countrywide was he controls his flow of communication so that there's only one day a month, not a week, a month, that you can call, that he receives inbound calls. You can't email his business. You cannot call his business. You can only send a fax or post office letter to communicate with his business. And he's hugely successful. Yeah, right? But he's hugely successful. Like, he's one of the most sought after in-demand marketing gurus. And so I found that interesting because he was talking about how that helps him be at his best. Because I have some of that same practice. I definitely control the flow of communication coming into me. And I definitely have my own style with that in order to preserve my energy for my work with my clients, this radio show, my workshops, my students, and to keep my energy and vibration high. Because I remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine when we were in Taiwan, and he's Canadian, and it was when email just started to kick in, really as beyond the newness and the, oh, cool, to the everybody is using it to communicate now. And everybody has an email address instead of just a few. And he said, you know, I almost feel obligated, like just because I can and people are communicating to me through email, I almost feel like I'm supposed to use email. And I'm supposed to keep in touch with people more frequently than I might necessarily want to. And yeah, everything is a choice. We could choose to not have an email address. I know, could you imagine it? We could choose to not text. Some of you still do. Very few of you nowadays, but some of you still do. We could choose to only read emails once a week, knowing that we keep in touch with who we need to keep in touch with through the phone. Right, I know. There's choices that we can make so that we could manage against the overwhelm. So that in being on the computer, that feeds the ego mind. I use earthing mats that I keep my feet on so that I don't get pulled in by the ions and the energy getting sent off of the computer. And then I have rock salt lamps everywhere, which helps negate the electromagnetic frequencies sent out by the laptop. Like, I don't have a microwave in my house. I never have as an adult. I did in college. That was it. I've never had a microwave in my house. I don't want to do that to my food. So the less time in the computer allows for more aliveness, and so many of you already know that. But what I'm talking about is how overwhelm can function as a way to stay hidden, a way to stay under the radar, a way to stay small. Yeah, everything that is. You want to return to sender with consciousness attached and destroy and uncreate? Yes. Times a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pod, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds. So new. The rate of change. I mean, have you guys noticed how much quicker the weeks go by? I can't believe we're at Friday again already. And I was thinking this last night. Is this another Thursday night? Another week has gone by? It's flying. So when we're less in the physical dimension, the 3D dimension, and we're more in the multidimensional world, time goes by quicker. Time's a construct anyway. We've talked about that on other shows. I don't want to go into it here. So things are sped up. The rate of change nowadays, 10 years is equal to 100 years back, like in the 1800s and any time before that. There's so much change happening. So if we're still, let's say, using email at a level that was expected back 2 years ago, or we're still on Facebook at a level or in a way that was 2 years ago. I mean, like, really, really allow yourself to be fluid like a dolphin going in and out of the water and skimming and leaping up and changing and leaping back in a new patch of water. Like, just letting the water flow off your gorgeous skin. You know, letting change happen and flowing with the change and calling for the change, because that kind of elegance, that kind of grace with just moving with the energy of the times. And when I say energy, now I mean with the major influences that are going on, creating what people are feeling and what's getting created. So in order to move with the most current matching fields of our own personal localized field, individualized field, all of our invisible bodies that create our EMF, our electromagnetic frequency and our vibration, all the invisible stuff surrounding our body. And there's a science behind it. And I talk about it in my book. I've talked about it on other radio shows. So as you walk around and then you merge with the bigger field has a certain consciousness to it. And that consciousness is always aliveness. It's always love. It's always expansion. Right? But then there seems to be these other influences that are coming from beyond, whatever that is, galactic or like I've already said. So to match, to flow like the waves with the way the moon is moving us, because we are of the same making. Yeah, we want to be more fluid. The mind doesn't allow for that fluidity. The mind keeps us locked down into sameness and into slower, just more dense movement. So if you're carrying extra weight right now, you might want to look at that too, because that extra weight is serving to slow you down. And you might be looking to eat more food. You might be looking to be, a part of you might be resistant to losing the weight, and a part of you might, like it hasn't been for years, wanting the weight off of you. Because you can sense the density. And you can sense how you're not able to move with the kind of lightness that's required in these light times now. Your diet might be changing too. You might be looking for some food that has more life force in it, less chemical processed food, less prepackaged foods, and you might be looking for more fresh foods, vegetables and fruits and multicolored foods. You might be looking for more nutrient-y dense foods like almost like superfoods and super herbs. And you might be having people fall off and out of your life who you've been friends with for decades, even with the reconnections on Facebook, right? You might be finding yourself attracted to doing new things and new friends. I'm not saying drop old friends. I'm not saying, you know, be inconsistent. Be inconsistent. Yes. The mind, and we used to have, I'm saying used to because I don't live in that world anymore, but we used to value consistency. I value integrity. But that doesn't mean that if the person's in integrity and they cancel, that's okay. If the person, because I like consistency, so if a person is meant to be somewhere because we've agreed to be there, I like to be able to have that happen. But if they're in integrity with why they're not there, then that's okay. But it seems like we got used to, in that older, slower times that we're used to living in, a more solid, consistent way of things being the same. And it's just not like that anymore. It's just so much less predictable. It's so much less stable. And it's not a bad thing. So anywhere and everywhere, where you, any all in all decisions, judgments, computations, and conclusions, and evaluations that you have, that instability is bad. Will you destroy and uncreate it? Yes. Times a godzillion. Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pod, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. Because instability has a negative connotation to the word. But if you look at that in another way, isn't that just fluidity? Isn't that just movement? Isn't that just change? And we are living in a times with quicker, sped up change and less consistency and stability with things looking the same, which is why so many people are grabbing onto habits and familiarity and trying to control how much change by saying no and living in resistance as much as they are. Because they don't have the tools, and their ego mind is screaming, and they don't, up against this energy, they don't have the tools to know how to navigate. That's what I'm doing right now with this show. That's what the 6-week telecall series is about. So I'm going to do it again. I'm going to plug the 6-week telecall series. Go to my website, AllisonJK.com. Say Yes to More is the name of the telecall series. AllisonJK.com/SayYesToMore/. That's the telecall series. You can get access to the free recording from Monday night's call if you want to just sign up. There's information on my website too to just go ahead and sign up for the call. You can get both. Feel free to get the free recording that had clearings on it for these kinds of reactions typical to change. The first grouping was isolation, a woman tending to shrink back when she knew success was right there on the other side, but she was shrinking back and keeping herself isolated when she knew that wasn't really what she wanted. The second woman brought up clearings around success and allowing oneself to be successful and step into success more and clearing blocks about not being deserving of success. And the third woman, there were issues about abundance and fear that there is not enough and anxiety and a racing to find the money. And so we cleared that trauma. So you get those clearings on the recording, and they're applicable to everybody. It's not just for the three people I'm facilitating. And then you can see you can get the nature of the kinds of clearings and facilitating I'm going to be doing on the calls. But there's a program in the 6 weeks in dealing with the way the mind reacts and dealing with the way the body reacts, ways to make the body stronger for change, ways to make the mind stronger for change, and also ways to go about saying yes more easily, and ways to work with consciousness to have more opportunities brought to you, ways to take advantage of the nature of the times right now. So all of that's in the telecall series. So please, I'm so excited to see who ends up being the group I'm working with, because you guys called for this, like I said last week, and like I said in the beginning of today's show, this was not created as a way for me to make money by any means. I don't operate that way. It was an awareness in my field that my community is asking for something. What are they asking for me? And asking the questions, this is what I ended up coming up with. And I wasn't looking for what product is the way to answer, what service is the way to answer what they're asking for me. I just was asking, what is this sense? So it is really a brand new time. Another reason why I'm excited is because of what I was saying also on last week's radio show, if you did not listen to it, that I feel like there's a new download in the last 4 weeks or so of these new energies and what they're about coming to me to share with you on this telecall series. So I can also understand, and it's been happening a lot this week, where I've been really working with a new energy and getting new understandings, because, and that's why I'm saying again and again and again, we are in a new time. It is being made abundantly clear to me. And another thing that this time is not about, speaking of abundance, in that last clearing done for that last woman, on the free call from Monday night that you'll get the recording of if you go to AllisonJK.com/SayYesToMore, that abundance, thrival, survival, the fighting, the not enough, the lack, the scarcity, all of that is gone. that this is meant to be a time, if we are connected with the spiritual time, the nature of spirit, the nature of that animate life force that bubbles everywhere and reaches for expansion, like kindergarten kids. You think that that's not going to have enough? That's mind created, human ego mind created. That is not essence created. And we come from essence. And this planet has essence. And we live on it in all of our abundance, including the creation of paper money and the creation of coins, comes from the earth. I'm not meaning to get preachy here, but it's, look at that. Let's take the biggest perspective, right? Let's pull back from the power we give our minds. One of the ways, so let me not go ahead, let me complete that thought there. So the fear over the last 10 years that I returned to this country and sensed that I wasn't living in, because I was removed 2 months, I left to go and lived in Asia 2 months before 9/11, came back 2 years into Obama's first administration. I wasn't here for all of that. So I came back to a country that I didn't even recognize due to the fear around there not being enough money. And that's what it had become at that point. By the time I came back to live here, I didn't come back here with any intention whatsoever of being a coach or an energy healer who works with abundance issues. There was no way around it. It was just too much of a priority and a concern, no matter the income level. I'm working with people with abundance issues, whether they're at hundreds and thousands of dollars a year or they're at like minimal. So that focus on there not being enough, that I have to fight, it's a competition, I have to compete for what little there is. Right, you get it now. That is human mind made. That is not the... If you look in nature, a tree doesn't say, I'm going to keep my leaves to myself. A flower doesn't say, I'm going to keep my flowers to myself and not open today. Yeah. Yeah, and you could be thinking, okay, now here we go. This is getting a little woo-woo or a little flowery. There's the mind coming in. That doubt, that skepticism, what value is it? It keeps you in the mind. It keeps you not saying yes. It keeps you from opening up. It keeps you from challenging yourself and expanding to the next level. And if that's what you're choosing, it's what you're choosing. Just do it with more awareness, right? So that you know that when you're in a certain spot and it doesn't feel good anymore, you know that you have the ability to be able to choose beyond that. Yeah, the power of human choice is frequently underrated. I love that. I heard Blossom Benedict say that, and I from Access Consciousness, and I've said it too. So as we're actually basking in love, as we're actually basking in a backdrop of support, of beauty, of all of this life glowing for us to have it too, what are we allowing our perception to be attuned to? It would, as you all know, it would help to get away from the media. Well, how am I going to be informed then, Allison? You can work that out. And then attuning to the light that's there right now is one of the ways to take advantage of the nature of the times that we're living in. Because, yeah, it's unstable. Yeah, it's a new, faster energy that's a different way to manage ourselves. So why don't we give ourselves the counterbalance of that? Where there's challenge, why don't we benefit from why the challenge is there, which is to help us grow into our spirituality and our spiritual awakening and realize the incredible creators and the creative power we have to create our own lives with our thoughts, because it's happening anyway, whether they're fear-driven thoughts or they're absolute aware of our own creative ability thoughts and using that. Why don't we learn how to use that more effectively? Because one of the other key aspects of this times is being able to create more quickly from our thoughts. Are you guys seeing it? Observe yourself and play with it too. You could play with observing you thinking about something or thinking about a person and watch if they call. Watch if their name starts showing up on Facebook or in an email or something. There's a couple of pieces of instruction I give that I'm going to give on the telecall series that I'm starting to get around right now, but I don't want to give them out right now. Ways to play with kind of, for those minds that are skeptics still and need proof still, that we're creators of our own reality, that we, there's ways to play with that in small beginner steps to test it, to see if in fact we do create our own reality with our thoughts, to watch something manifest that we're thinking about manifesting. There's ways to go like a learner's curve with that, and definitely that's a major part of the telecall series, because that's what we want to do. We want to take advantage of the nature of the times that we're in, which is to help us recognize our own essence, our own spiritual power, and the spiritual awakening of humanity. And there is so much support around us to do that. And in that support, in the change from a more dense world to a lighter, higher vibration world, is more ability to create what we want quicker from our thoughts. So if we're engaged in that polarity of struggle, then we're going to create struggle. If we're engaged in, I got a problem solved, then we're going to create more problems to solve. But if we rise above that in a whole consciousness perspective, and we just bask in the energy, and we learn how to just kind of be more and allow ourselves to connect with that, whether it be through nature or meditation or listening to music that makes your heart open or being with people who help your heart open, going into the heart, going into feelings. I don't mean sappy love, romantic feelings. I don't mean strong sexual desire. I mean just, I mean, those are great, the strong sexual desire, because it's a form of power, the sappy love feelings I'm not a fan of. But I'm talking about like a sensory equipment. I'm talking about sensing when I say feelings more. Like go into your sensing self, go into your receiving self, that would be another way to say it. Like really start playing with that too. So, okay, I think time's up. Say yes to more. AllisonJK.com, say yes to more. Come and join us. I would love to play with you. Have the best weekend ever!
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.allisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.